I'm Pastor Joanne. I'm one of the pastors here, and it's my honor always and a privilege to deliver the Word of God to you today. I think Dorothy mentioned it in her powerful offering prayer. She said today was the last day of the Broken Cistern series. Did you guys catch that? Yeah? How's the series been for you? Yeah? I know, we're not a super expressive bunch, so you guys are like, sometimes you guys nod with your eyes like, you know? But I catch it because I'm a nuanced person like that. Today is our final sermon in the series, so I just want to offer us a recap. I know some of you guys are sometimes serving and you're catching it like on Tuesday, right when it pops up, sometimes, you know, Monday night. I'm one of those people, you know, I want to listen to it again. So I want to give us a recap and then just really take a moment. Just open your heart and recall how God has been personally speaking to you these past 9 weeks. So first week, if you guys remember, Pastor Brian preached on observing Sabbath. Do you remember that? To be still before the Lord. How many of you guys repented of your busyness and, you know, the business as usual? How many of you guys leaned into disciplining your mind and your body to sit yourself down in stillness before the Lord? Oh man, that is one of the hardest things that we have to discipline ourselves into this generation. Without being still before God, though, you won't know what it's like to drink from the living water of Holy Spirit. Second week, God gave us a word on the fear of man versus the fear of the Lord. Is the fear of the Lord on your lips? Does the fear of the Lord govern your tongue? Do you mind God in every word you utter? We will have to give an account to the Lord for every word we speak here on earth in this body you've been given. Third week, Pastor Brian brought our attention to our collective prayerlessness. Do we pray about all the things? Do you guys remember the five S's? You want to mouth it with me? Sin, sadness, stress, success, and supplication. Woo! I memorized it. All of it brought before the loving and willing God of the universe. Fourth week, I exhorted us to pursue God's presence over every good thing. You know, our presentation, our efficiency, our service. These things are never an end in and of themselves. Everything we do is our movement to move the heart of God. So that even though God is everywhere and he's living in our heart, his manifest presence will be so pleased to rest here with us as a church. And then fifth week, Pastor Brian spoke on how money is our language of worship. Our giving to God is based less on our circumstances. And it's based less on who is leading the church or who is in your church, but based on our perfect shepherd who deserves our everything. And then sixth week, Heidi Kwan preached a beautiful word on our identity as beloved sons and daughters of God, over and above our performance and any other sort of label that tries to attach at us in this world. And then seventh week, Pastor TJ preached on making God our number one priority. What did he say? Do it first. Do it now. I like him. He's my husband, if you didn't know. So they're like, that person is weird. Eighth week, I'm not playing favoritism. I'm supposed to play favoritism. That's my husband. Okay. Eighth week, Pastor Brian preached on quiet quitting. Now we're getting to just the last couple of weeks, so you might remember it very freshly in your mind. He preached on quiet, he didn't tell us to quietly quit. He just said, that's what's rampant in our world. We're quietly quitting. And he invited us to live wholeheartedly unto God, right? He called out our resignation, negativity, and despair as our refusal to confront our own selves towards repentance, and called for revival and rekindling of our affection to the Lord in our hearts with God's help. Ninth week, that was last week, Pastor Brian preached on the word of God, right? How we need to receive God's word both privately in our personal lives and corporately as a body of Christ so that we will have the resilience to run this race together. And finally, today is our 10th and final sermon of the series. So let's open our heart to Holy Spirit, our living water. Let's pray. Holy and loving God, we thank you that you speak to your church to bless and to encourage, correct, and to equip. Your word is life, and we need it to live, really live, because you are the giver of life, and in you is truth, and we are your disciples, walking closely behind you wherever you'll lead. So open our hearts today to receive your word. Speak to each of us personally and bind us together as a local body of Christ so that together we can bless you with our yielded lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I'm going to go straight to our theme verse of the series. Do we see that on the screen? Or maybe we don't even need it because we have heard it so many times. We have mouthed it along with the pastor so many times, I bet you could even almost memorize it, okay? So maybe try, like kind of wink or I don't know. But let's read it together. I want us to read it together, okay? Jeremiah 2:13 says, "My people have committed two sins. They have forsaken me, the spring of living water, and have dug their own cisterns, broken cisterns that cannot hold water." Now, you won't forget this verse for a really, really, really long time. Now, whenever somebody says that odd word, cistern, your heart will leap because of the season. So we've spent the last 9 weeks talking about the things that we've made our idols, essentially. The things that we built hoping for safety, security, and significance. These were the things that have taken us away from God, our living water, and that image is powerful because we all agree that water is essential to life. Drinking water is important for our living, yes? Like today with the smoke in the air, I feel extra parched. I think the world is helping me preach this word, you know? It's a known fact that we need to drink clean water and drink sufficiently, right? I've heard something like half your body weight in ounces. So that means, you know, I need to drink, you know, such and such amount. You don't need to know. You know, it helps with weight loss. It helps with skin health. I mean, those are the very, like, visible things. But it helps a slew of other things that make our body function properly for the long haul. I think I Googled and it said, you know, just on an average, if you don't drink water for 3 days, you will die. But of course, depending on your body size and what climate you live in, your level of health, all of that, you know, it affects it. But I mean, you're not going to be able to live many more days than that. I'm looking at the doctors in the house for affirmation. But knowing this full well, who of you still do not drink enough water in a day? Raise it high. Don't be ashamed. Or be shamed, I don't know. I know that I am guilty of this. My preferred drink is a very watered-down coffee, like packing ice and then coffee, and I just kind of like drink it throughout the day. So there are articles, do you guys know that? And people sometimes like blog or Instagram about it, like list of things on how one might get more drink in your system, a sort of like a strategy to get it in you with less resistance, if you will. Have you guys ever read those? You know, they say, they give a lot of suggestions. Like first, like, you know, get a special cup. You know, Stanley cups have become like a cult favorite in the last few years. Is it fading now, you know? Maybe you have a cup that's your favorite color and in your favorite design. Or maybe you just get like a gargantuan, you know, cup. It's like 40 ounces, like 60 ounces, maybe like 100 ounces, right? And then once you get it on your table, like you don't have to go back and keep refilling it. So maybe you'll drink more water, you know? Or how about the other tip of, you know, you need a plan. Like, try to attach it to your, you know, daily routine. Like, you know, after you brush your teeth, drink a cup of water. After you make your bed, you know, drink a cup of water. Or maybe it could be like a reward system. Like, drink a cup of water first, and then you could check your email. You know, drink a cup of water before you open your Instagram or before you watch your Netflix, right? So make it a part of your daily rhythm, you know, turn it into a habit or let it be your reward. Or another tip I've heard is like, you know, connect with a friend. Like make it a challenge, you know? How about you and me, we help each other to drink more water? And I've seen that maybe with people who want to get more steps in. It's like there's like apps and stuff. You guys have your Apple Watch and you're like 10,000 steps, like me and you, because a lot of our jobs are like sedentary. So I know that my husband does that with a friend and he's like, I'm almost there, I gotta go for a walk. Like, I'm at 9,000 something miles. Or when he went to Disneyland once, he's like, I walked like, I don't know, 15,000 steps. And he was so excited. So, you know, turn it into like a fun competition even. You know, keep each other accountable. And the last tip I heard is like, have you tried flavoring it? You know, it gets bland and boring for some people to drink water. So why not add like watermelon or grape flavoring to give it like a punch? So I know this is kind of a silly example to some of you who are extremely well hydrated. And I know that those of you exist. But I think many of us can say we find ourselves resisting things we know are good for us. Sometimes it's because of forgetfulness, you know, we're too busy. Our plates are too full, we're too distracted to stop and remember the important things, you know? Sometimes it's willful stubbornness and rebellion. We want to be in control, even to our own demise. Other times, you know, it's kind of short-sightedness, maybe impatience, immaturity. But this is a time for us as a church to grow and mature. It's a time to lean into and accept what is good and essential for us according to the Word of God. So as we're wrapping up the series, my heart is that we together determine to drink deeply the living water of Holy Spirit and find life and satisfaction there alone. We cannot have spent 9 weeks, you know, examining our broken cisterns and then repenting of our idols, and even adopting practices of faith afresh, you know, or for the first time, but then stop right there. Stop at drinking and drawing continuously from the living water of the Holy Spirit. This is about engagement. I'm asking you to dive in. Okay, this series ultimately points to who? It leads us to Holy Spirit. All the pathways of return points to Holy Spirit who Jesus sent to us. So who is the Holy Spirit? Holy Spirit is a member of the Godhead, the third person of the Trinity. That means Spirit carries the fullness of God, the Father, and fullness of God, the Son. Holy Spirit is never an it or some sort of vibe or a mystical power. You know, Spirit doesn't exist as an animating presence or just the power of God, a force detached from personhood, full of relational capacity. You mean like how we relate to one another? It would be a remiss to say Spirit is relational like us, because it is us that bear God's image, and our relationality is a reflection of who God is. Relationality originates from God. It's God's idea. It's God's way. So Holy Spirit is more relational than we are. And it is a definition of relationality. Holy Spirit is not limited to time and space. That means Holy Spirit can communicate with and assist an unlimited number of people all at the same time. You can see this in the book of Acts, that Spirit was involved, deeply involved in the lives of early believers. And God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So the Spirit yearns to be involved in every area of our lives today. there's virtually no Christian life without Holy Spirit. Without Holy Spirit, Christianity is dry, it's monotonous, it's mundane. Our labor in the Lord can feel draining and wear us down. Without Holy Spirit, there is no fellowship with God. Without Holy Spirit, churches will morph into social clubs or religious institutions existing to uphold traditions. Without Holy Spirit, Scripture becomes lethal. 2 Corinthians 3:6 says, letters kill, but the Spirit gives life. So there's so much to say about Holy Spirit. But what I want to preach today is how we can drink the living water of Holy Spirit for ourselves. And I have a verse up here from the Gospel of John. But before that one, I have another it's not on there that I need you to listen for, okay? John 7, 38 to 39 says, whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Now this he said about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive. Okay, and now let's read this one. And again, Jesus said in John 4:14, but whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. So I want us to focus on the word drink. Drinking is key. Jesus didn't say whoever hears about the water. Jesus didn't say whoever knows about the molecular structure of the water. Jesus didn't say whoever is considering if or when or whether to take a sip of that water. You get where I'm going with this? Jesus said whoever drinks the water. We cannot just know about and talk about Holy Spirit. I know many of you had moments when the proclamation of the word during the series went out. You were stirred. Some of you were inspired. Some of you were convicted. Although quietly, you can never tell with your faces. But whatever was gurgling inside of you, we can't stop there. We need to not only like Holy Spirit, or even long for Holy Spirit, but now enter into active communion with Holy Spirit. Drink the living water. Drink deeply. You know, when you came to the saving knowledge of Jesus and gave your life to his lordship over you, Jesus offered you water that will always keep you well-plenished. It is the Holy Spirit of God indwelling you. So I want you to put your hand, they say like on your heart a lot, but I like to put it here, wherever you like. Put it somewhere like at the center of yourself, right? Put it here and say, Holy Spirit lives here. Can you say it? Can you wake up? Put your hand here and say, Holy Spirit lives here. Think about here, the location of your body and your inside. Holy Spirit lives here. Yeah, okay. Holy Spirit lives there. Holy Spirit lives here. When we drink water, what happens? Water comes into our bodies. Water gets inside us and touches nearly every part of our body. That means we can no longer, once it goes in, we can no longer separate ourselves from the water. It literally gives and sustains life, and without it, we can't live. Life is impossible without water. We are inseparable from its life-giving force for health and vitality. And so it is with our life after we say yes to Jesus and confess him as our Lord and Savior. Jesus died for our sins on that cross, but broke the power of death and rose up to heaven, was seated at the right hand of the Father, so that he can send us Holy Spirit, who will be with us always. The Christian life that you and I live is designed to be lived in communion with Holy Spirit. Every moment of every day. Christian life doesn't make sense without living in relationship with Holy Spirit. Jesus is not here with us physically anymore. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and yes, he will return to judge the living and the dead. And in the meanwhile, Jesus did not leave us as orphans. Jesus sent us Holy Spirit to guide us into all things and empower us to obey every word that Jesus has spoken to us. How do we live in relationship with Holy Spirit? How do we drink deeply the living water of God? Drink deeply, meaning it becomes our life source. What Holy Spirit desires from us is ongoing communion with us. If you don't get this, if you neglect and forget this, if you don't deepen in your communion with Holy Spirit, you live a dry, depleted, depressed, and despairing life, all in the name of Jesus. There's a line in benediction that you hear often. It comes from 2 Corinthians 13, 14. It says, "The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all." This is a familiar benediction that you've heard before, yes? Yeah. There's an authority and privilege that a pastor is vested with to prayerfully announce divine blessing over the people of God. You know, so at the closing of a worship service, pastor comes up, releases his blessing over the people as he returns to their homes, into their spheres of life that God has entrusted them. The communion of the Holy Spirit, that's the blessing. That's the blessing you carry with you. The original Greek for communion is koinonia. And I want to talk about it in terms of fellowship, partnership, and intimacy. Let's get into how we can have communion with Holy Spirit, okay? So fellowship is staying connected through communication and sharing life together. So Pastor Brian identified the broken cisterns of prayerlessness and invited us to return to the living water by praying all the things, right? You can share your sins, sadness, stress, success, and supplication with God. And if you look at the book of Acts, scripture tells us that Paul conversed with Holy Spirit about so many things, like where he should go, who he should connect with, and what lay ahead of him, even his own death. Verses like Acts 15, 28, it says, "It seemed good to the Holy Spirit and us." Verses like that show us that there was communication and agreement between Holy Spirit and Christians of that time. I want to talk about partnership. Partnership with Holy Spirit is working together by adding action to our communication. Good partnership requires both communication and action. You know, we wouldn't consider someone a good partner if they sit and do nothing, right? And neither will we consider someone a good partner if they go off running and doing the work without ever checking in with you and communicating with you. Partnership requires both. And 1 Corinthians 3:9 tells us we are laborers together with God, meaning that we get to work in partnership with God. It's an amazing invitation. Abraham in Genesis 18, Moses in Exodus 32, they both worked in close partnership with God for a specific moment in time, and they together determined the outcome of people's lives and history. For us who are in Christ Jesus, Holy Spirit lives in us 24/7. We have access to him at all times, and God desires to work in partnership with us. But the thing I want to talk about the most today is intimacy. Of all the possible words that can describe communion with Holy Spirit, intimacy seems to be the best word to describe Paul's use of koinonia in 2 Corinthians 13:14. Intimacy is this deepest level of friendship. Sharing our most personal thoughts and desires and secrets with Holy Spirit, and Holy Spirit also shares with us. It's incredible to think that not only will God know the intimate details of my own life, but that God of the universe will also be vulnerable to share his heart with me. But intimacy is not automatic. It demands a growing history of trust, and it's proportionate to that trust that's being established between the two in relationship. So to build trust in a relationship, to build trust towards intimacy with one another and with God, it's important to remember the warning in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. It says, "Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God." Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Grieve here in Greek is to convey deep sorrow and distress. It's a pain that can only be experienced between two people who deeply love each other. Holy Spirit has made our hearts a dwelling place. So everywhere we go, Holy Spirit goes. So Spirit is deeply affected by what we allow into our lives. What Paul is essentially saying is, don't grievously hurt the one who deeply loves you. So with that in mind, I'm going to read Ephesians chapter 4, verses 29 to 32. So let's read it with a mind. Let's read it with Holy Spirit in mind, okay? It says, don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful, so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. And do not bring sorrow or grief to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. Remember, he has identified you as his own, guaranteeing that you'll be saved on the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. Do not bring grief to Holy Spirit by the way you live. Never forget that Holy Spirit has taken up residence inside us. When you walk into a movie, you're taking him. The God of the universe, who is holy and infinite in might, is with you. God is with you wherever you go because he's promised to never leave you nor forsake you. Are you seeing the tenderness of the Holy Spirit? In order for us to enjoy healthy, vibrant, and ongoing relationship with Holy Spirit, we must be sensitive to the things that bring him sorrow. The manifestation of God's presence in your life will be thwarted if you lack understanding of how you should relate to Holy Spirit. When you drag him into situations that grieve God, Spirit will suddenly become quiet. So what should our response be when we have caused Holy Spirit sorrow? We should immediately ask for forgiveness with deep and sincere apology. It's not an issue of condemnation because Romans 8:1 tells us, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. This is not an issue of condemnation. It's an issue of communion. Our genuine connection, our intimate communion with Holy Spirit is at stake. Holy Spirit is our living water, our source of life and living this Christian life. So as we end our Broken Cistern series, I want to exhort the body of Christ here at Echo to decide and go deeper in communion with Holy Spirit, who is our living water. We have spent time examining the broken cisterns of our lives. We have studied the pathways of return to our living water, and some of us have arrived there. Now let us resolve afresh to live holy and wholehearted lives in communion with Holy Spirit, who is our living water. So I want to invite us to take a moment right now. Okay, and when I say let's take a moment, usually I invite us to a time of reflection and prayer. So you're welcome to close your eyes, but you could also stare at me or the cross or down 45 degrees angle. You know, any place is okay. Whatever helps you to be present to Holy Spirit who lives in you, okay? Let's take this moment. There is no music. I like it that way. How has the Lord been touching you through this series? We have to personalize this. We can't let it just come in through one ear and out the other. God is speaking to us. God is speaking to you. So think, what stands out? Because it's so important to guard against forgetfulness. The Israelites lived through many miracles and deliverance and goodness of God, but they forgot. We have to protect and steward what we've been given. So ask Holy Spirit right now to help you recall how God has been speaking to you during the series. Could be a particular sermon. Could be a particular word. Holy Spirit, speak to our people. And others of you, do you sense a stirring and nudging to return to communion with Holy Spirit? Some of you need to go from a passive, I know you live in me, to a proactive, speak, your servant is listening posture. Drink deeply and go deeper. Resolve to draw all of life's power, direction, and joy through ongoing communion with Holy Spirit of God. So let's take another minute to do that. And I know it's not a long time, and I hope you'll have time to do this at home in your secret place. But would you also reach out to people next to you? You don't have to touch them if you don't know them. But just let's pray for the people next to us. Ask God, God, let my brother, let my sister drink deeply. To go deeper in their communion with Holy Spirit. If somebody's on fire for Jesus and the rest of us are languishing, man, it is hard to do church together. We need one another drinking, each of us, from the living water of God. So that as a church, we are healthy and empowered to do only what Holy Spirit can do through us. So pray for people next to you. God, bless my brother, bless my sister, bless my husband, bless my wife, bless my friend, bless my leader. Bless us to go deeper in communion with you. And with your eyes closed, I'll close our time. You know, we can't, by our own might or our strength, live this life of following Jesus. I don't want us to repeat history of forsaking God, our living water, and digging for ourselves broken cisterns any longer. It is by Holy Spirit that we can live blessed lives in Christ, loving God and loving others through the seasons. So Echo, let's drink deeply from the spring of living water, Holy Spirit of God. And Holy Spirit, we love you. We need you. Oh, and we are here for you. Speak. We are listening. Amen. I'm going to invite Pastor Jeanette up for benediction.
Church, I bless you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Drink deeply from the wellspring of life that is the Holy Spirit, and you will thrive and live in abundance. Amen. Amen. Thank you, church. Have a wonderful day. Please go out and enjoy some snacks and get to know some other people. And for our VBS folks who are volunteering and signed up to do so, thank you. And get ready to go. Maybe drink some water so that we can do this well tonight. God bless you guys. Thank you.